My name is Brian Fox, and I'm one of the pastors here. It's my great privilege to share the word with you this morning, and I'm actually really happy to be back. Last weekend, I was camping with a bunch of boys from our Trail Life troop and the dads, and there was no water. There was nothing. It was great, but I'm glad to be back where there's power and there's water. I can wash my hands. It's fantastic. So I'm glad to be here this morning. We're going to continue our series we've called Filled Up. If you have a Bible or the note sheet that you were handed on your way in, you can pull those guys out. And while you do that, I want to share with you a quick story, because I don't know if you've heard this story. Have you guys have heard the story of the pastor and the priest standing beside the road? You guys heard that one? Okay, let me tell it to you then. Good. So there's a pastor and a priest, and they're standing on the side of the road, and they've got this sign that says, "Turn around, the end is near." And so this guy drives by, and like many people do when they see a sign like that, he slowed down, and he looked at it, and he rolled down his window and said, "Go home, jerks!" And he just screeched around the corner and kept going by as fast as he could. Well, a moment later, the pastor and the priest heard the screeches of tires and a giant splash. And then that's when the pastor turns to the priest and says, "Hey, do you think we should change our sign to say bridge out?" These are the jokes, people. These are the jokes. See, I think sometimes we don't communicate very clearly the things that we're trying to communicate with people. And I don't know why it is about the most important thing of all, about our faith, about the good news of God's great love, but sometimes we make it so complex, we make it so difficult that even though we've got a good intention, we've got a good message, sometimes it's lost. It's lost in translation. It's lost in communication. And I think sometimes we try and make it too complex. We overthink things. Now, last week, my wife, Rebecca, shared the word. Did she really knock it out of the park or what? She did a great job. And she began the story, and we've been going through the book of Acts for the last couple of weeks, and she set up this story of a fantastic moment in time in church history where God showed up and filled his people with supernatural power. And we saw how God set up his people. He did something amazing. He set them up for an opportunity to share the reason for the hope that they had. He set them up for a win. And God gave his people a supernatural ability to communicate with people with all sorts of different languages. And it really was an amazing moment in time. And we're going to continue that story today. If you have a Bible, you can turn to Acts chapter 2. If you have a Bible app, you can turn there as well. For those of you who aren't familiar, there's a YouVersion Bible app. You can go to the events tab and find all of our notes from this morning's message and all the message notes and scriptures, so you can follow along that way as well. But we've been going through the first two chapters of the book of Acts, and I want to give you a quick recap for those of you who are just joining us. It's kind of like the recap at the beginning of a TV show, okay? So here it is, really quick Reader's Digest. So we see Jesus, and he's walking with his disciples, and right before he ascends into heaven to go back to be with the Father, he gives his disciples, his followers, and that's us. He gives us this great commandment, this great charge, this great commission, and tells them to go everywhere and to tell everyone of the great news that God loves them and that God has a plan to rescue and redeem them. And he gives them this incredible plan, a plan that's bigger than they are. And I would imagine, like you and I, when God gives them this command, they're like, "I don't know how I'm going to do that." But he doesn't just give them a command. He also gives them a promise. He tells them to wait, to go back to Jerusalem and to wait. Wait for the promise of the Father. He said he's going to give you the Holy Spirit to enable you to do exactly what you need to do. See, because this mission was bigger than they could do by themselves. So God gives them power. Say the word power with me.
Power.
You guys are good. He gives them power. And that's what we looked at last week, how Jesus, just as Jesus promised, the Father sends the Holy Spirit to empower them for supernatural deeds and supernatural acts. And what they don't realize is that while they're waiting, and then a couple days go by, and then they're still waiting, and then a couple days go by, and they're still waiting. And what they don't realize is that God is setting them up for the right time. Because God had a plan, because at the very moment that God sent his Holy Spirit, there were Jews and people traveling from all around the world into Jerusalem for a celebration, for a festival. It's like Burning Man, but without all the craziness. But they were all there. They were all there to celebrate. And all of a sudden, at that exact moment in time, when God sends all these people to the one place, he sends the power of the Holy Spirit. And all of a sudden, they're filled with this ability to speak. Even though these people have different languages, it'd be like me trying to speak to just a Spanish-speaking group. They wouldn't understand my words, but God gave them a supernatural ability to communicate with all of these people at the same time. So God set them up to speak. He set them up to win. And that's where we're going to pick up our story today, because it's at this point that God has done an amazing thing, and now they're about to do something. So here it is, Acts chapter 2. Before we get there, I want to give you the big idea. If you're taking notes, you can fill out this as your first blank. See, when God sets you up, you've got to stand up and you've got to speak up. See, there's something important about that. I hope you guys will grasp that as we kind of come to the scripture today. See, because God sets them up, and then it's Peter's turn to stand up and to speak up. Here it is, Acts chapter 2, starting in verse 14. It says, "But Peter, standing with the 11, lifted up his voice and addressed them." So Peter, standing up, speaks up. And this is what he says. He says, "Men of Judea and all who dwell in Jerusalem, let this be known to you and give ear to my words." So here's the deal. The people saw these guys speaking in other languages and they thought, man, these guys must be drunk, right? There's no other earthly explanation for why they're speaking all these different languages. They must be drunk. But this is what he says, verse 15. "For these people are not drunk as you suppose, since it's only the third hour of the day." It's only 9 in the morning, guys. We hadn't started drinking yet, no. It's only 9 in the morning, but this is, and then he goes on to explain some things, but here's the big idea. God had set them up, but now it was Peter's turn to stand up and to speak up, to share the reason for the hope that he had. And there's something important about us standing up and doing what God has prepared us to do. And let me ask you the question, what is it that God has divinely made you to do? What is the purpose that God has created you for? What are the gifts that he's placed inside of you? Will you stand up as Peter did and use the gifts that God has given you at the time and the place that he's put you for the reasons he's created you for? See, what God wanted to do, he wanted this man to speak up, to share the story of faith that he had and the reason for the hope that he had in Jesus, to share this good news of God's great love for anyone who would listen. And because God had set them up, there were thousands of people that suddenly showed up. And so he was able to speak in a big and powerful way. See, it was up to God to fill him up. It was up to God to fill him up with his spirit. It was up to God to set him up, to create the circumstances and the situations of his life, to bring these people around from all over the world. But it was up to Peter. It was Peter's choice whether he would stand up and whether he would speak up. See, there's very often a great role that we place. I don't know why God chooses to do it this way, but God wants to partner with us. See, God creates the circumstances and the situations in our life, but at the end of the day, we're left with the decision, will I stand up? And will I open my mouth and engage in conversation? Will I speak up when it's time? See, God wants to set you up for good works he's made you to do, but the question is, when he does, will you stand up? Or will you just stay sitting down? Will you just stay silent? See, as a church, New Heart exists to do two things: to love God and to make God's love known. That's what we're created to do. See, we love God. We come together and we read this book. We read the Bible. We understand who God is and what he's like and what he's made us to do. We worship him. We celebrate God and what he's done. And the second thing we're made to do is to make God's love known. And that exists in a number of different ways, that we show and share the good news of the gospel with any who will listen, with all of the world. See, and part of that is showing his love. See, our world doesn't need just people that are just talking heads. But our world needs to see men and women that will take their faith and put it in action and show them the love of God through the way we live our lives and the way we treat others, through our acts of service, through our acts of sacrifice. And another part of that that's equally important, sometimes we neglect one for the other, We can't neglect our doing, but we also can't neglect our speaking. We've got to share the good news of the gospel. We've got to tell people about the good news that God loves them. See, that's good news. It's not like it's bad news, but sometimes we think of it like, man, this is bad news. I've got to share it with someone. No, no, no. This is good news. The news of God's great love, because the truth of the matter is we don't have this great mission because we want to become famous or because it's about us. This is the mission of God's people throughout history because it's our job, it's our role to make Jesus famous, to make his name known so that all the people everywhere will know the love of God that exists for them. And that's true of you, friend, too, whether you realize it or not. See, this is good news, and we can't keep it to ourselves because this is good news for all people. Say all people with me. This is good news for all people. This is good news for black people, for brown people, for white people. This is good news for rich people and poor people, for people that speak English and people that speak Spanish and people that speak Portuguese. This is good news for all people. And yet sometimes we think of this as being good news just for people that are just like me, but it's also good news for people that are not just like me. That's the good news of the gospel, that this is good news for everyone, everywhere. And we believe that God's love for the world includes them, people that are not like us, whoever they happen to be. And God has set us up as a church family to reach out and to reach the people of our city and our region with the good news of Jesus Christ. But to reach our city, we've got to stand up. We've got to stand up, and we've got to speak up. See, God is looking for people who will stand up in our workplaces and show the love of God. Not just talk about the love of God, but show the love of God. God is looking for people that will go to their schools and say, God, I don't want to just talk about your love, but I want to show your love. People who will go to our neighborhoods and say, God, I don't want to just talk about loving my neighbor. I want to actually love my neighbor, even that guy over there, the weird one with the dog that's loud. Even that guy, God, I want to love him. Help me to love him well. Don't you know there's always people that are hard to love? But that's part of loving as God loves. Is God doesn't choose to love some people and not others. God loves the world. For God so loved the world that he sent his only begotten son. And the world includes them. Those people that are hard to love for us. See, all along, God has chosen to use people that are just ordinary people. People that don't have extraordinary giftedness. Some of them did. Some of them do, but he chooses to use ordinary people, and he takes the natural, and he adds the super. And when you add natural and super, you get the supernatural, and God is able to do through men and women, just like you and me, things that are far beyond our natural abilities, things that are supernatural, things that are beyond our normal things. And for one reason or another, God always chooses throughout the pages of Scripture when we read about these people. They're not all men of faith. They're not all women of faith. They're not all people that you're like, man, I want to be just like that guy. But they're messed up people like you and me, people that aren't perfect. But God chooses to use them and to redeem their stories and to use them in the gifts that he's put in them to do extraordinary things. But in order for God to do extraordinary things in your life, you've got to stand up. And you've got to speak up. You've got to start walking forward in the ways that God has called you to walk. See, God took this normal guy, a guy who was in his own strength, couldn't stand up for Jesus even a little bit. In fact, part of his story was a really messed up part of the story, that he couldn't stand for Jesus at all. In fact, he denied even knowing Jesus. And yet the same man stood up and proclaimed Jesus. And as a result of this normal guy saying, God, because you filled me with your spirit, because you've filled me up, because you've created this opportunity, you've set me up, God, I'm going to stand up and I'm going to speak up. And as a result of that, we see in verse 41, this is what it says. So those who received his word, would you read this with me? So those who received his word were baptized, and there were added that day about 3,000 souls. 3,000 souls, friends. I don't know if you have even an imagination big enough to see that. See, I don't think Peter probably ever imagined that God would do something that big through his humble life. This lowly guy didn't imagine that God would do something that big just 10 days later, after he'd been so afraid and so embarrassed and so ashamed But yet that's what God did. See, I doubt that Peter had a 3,000-seat auditorium to fit that size of church. But God did a miracle that big anyways. I doubt that he had a plan on what he was going to do with all those people that came to faith, but God chose to use him in that time in that same way, no matter what. See, God's plans are bigger than our plans. And sometimes we limit what God is able to do, but God had set them up. And Peter partnered with God. He said, God, I don't know if I can do this in my own strength, but you filled me up. You've given me a supernatural ability to do something beyond what I feel able to do. And God did what God always does in those moments. See, he fills us up and he sets us up. And if we will stand up and speak up for him, he is able to do something that only he can do. He can show up. He showed up. He did just that. See, here's the truth, though. We don't like to stand up. Am I right? We don't like to stick our neck out. We don't want to be the one guy standing up. George likes to stand up. Good job, George. We don't like to stand up because, well, there's an awkwardness to standing up. Sometimes we feel like we're going to get somehow ostracized or made fun of, or there's something else that will happen to us. We don't live in the Roman days where we may be crucified for our faith, but we do have this feeling of being persecution. But here's the deal. With all those excuses aside, God is looking for men and women who will stand up. He's looking for men and women who will say, God, I don't care about those excuses. I don't care about those things because I've got good news. I want to be a voice for God in my generation. I want to be someone who makes a difference in my world, in my time. I'm willing to stand up and be a voice for God. It's not in some effort to get famous or to make it about me, but to say, God, I want to, because of your great love and the way that your love has changed me, God, I want others to experience that. See, when God sets you up to win, you've got to stand up and you've got to start moving forward. You've got to stand up and start moving forward. See, God had set his people up to win. He had filled them with the supernatural power and abilities to do something that was beyond themselves. And even after they had this spiritual experience, see, they had this great moment with God. They had a spiritual experience. But even after that moment, they had to choose, God, will I stand up for you? Jesus, will I speak up and tell people about the reason for the hope I have? See, would they sit on the bench or would they stand up and get into the game? That was the question that was in front of them. And I'm going to ask you that this morning as well. Are you willing to stand up? Are you willing to speak up? Are you willing to be a light in a dark place, to be not just someone who talks about love, but someone who shows God's love to a world that's in desperate need of hope? Would you be willing to be an ambassador of love in a world filled with hatred, with distrust, with disunity? Now, I don't know about you, but every time I turn on the news, I'm troubled by the brokenness of our world. And what our world doesn't need is more experts that proclaim, here's how you fix it. What our world needs is more of God's love on display, both shown and shared. What our world needs is Jesus Christ and his salvation and his saving work. See, God is setting his people up for good. I got to add that part. And it's our question of whether we will stand up and be one of those people or not. So then Peter quotes the prophet Joel. After he says all this, he quotes the prophet Joel and he gives us some application for each one of us. Here's what he says. He says, but this is what was uttered through the prophet Joel. And in the last days it shall be, God declares, that I will pour out my spirit on all flesh. Say on all flesh. It says, your sons and your daughters shall prophesy, your young men shall see visions, and your old men shall dream dreams. See, God is saying he wants to pour out his spirit on all flesh. God is calling each one of us up off the bench, out of that place of just sitting back. God is calling all of us up. And for some of us, God is calling us just as he did to those 3,000 men and women on that day. He's calling some of you to say, to receive his free gift of grace and mercy. For others of us, God is calling us to stand up, to take action, to speak up in the places that he's placed us, to use our gifts and our voices that he's given us for his glory and for the good of other people all around us, to not sit idly by while injustice is done in our world, to not sit idly by while our world grasps for hope and justice when we have the source of hope, when we have the source of true justice. We have a God of hope, and we have the reason for hope, the hope of eternal life, friends. And that is a hope that sustains through no matter what life throws at us. And we have a world in desperate need of some hope. They've looked to all sorts of different places. We've looked to our finances. We've looked to our political systems. We've looked to every other thing but to God himself. And God is the only one that can give us a hope that will sustain us, a steadfast anchor for our souls. And God wants to do that. See, to change the world, God wants to use all of us. I will pour out my spirit on all flesh, he says. See, God can use anybody. He can use anybody. He wants to pour out his spirit on all flesh. And God's family doesn't just come from one socioeconomic circle, from the rich or from the poor. God's people don't just come from one race or white or yellow or brown or red. God's church is not just built with one cultural background. See, God doesn't look down and see Americans or Mexicans or Canadians. God sees his children. He sees people. See, the Bible declares, and we believe emphatically, that all men and women are made in the image and likeness of God. That every human being is endowed by his creator with incredible worth, incredible value. The Bible declares that. And this is why in every civilization where Christianity has flourished, we've seen the abolition of slavery and we've seen human suffering go away. See, what our nation needs is not another political revolution. What our nation needs is a revival. They need to see people meet Jesus Christ and be changed by this knowledge that God loves them. And God loves them too. And God loves my neighbor, even that one with the annoying dog. Even that guy. God loves him too. See, this belief is so important. And the truth is, we've got to receive God's grace. We've got to receive God's mercy. We've got to receive his love for ourselves. I'm going to conclude with a story this morning. There's a story of a religious professor at a small college. His name was Dr. Christensen, and he taught a required class, a survey of Christianity. And every freshman was required to take his course. And though he tried really hard, he could never really communicate the love of God or the gospel very clearly. And all the freshmen that went through his class kind of thought his class was just a waste of time. But one particular year, this professor had a student named Steve. Now, Steve was the center of the football team at the college. He was a big burly guy and he was a strong guy. And in addition to being strong, he actually was a strong believer. He loved the Lord Jesus and he actually felt called to ministry after this college. He was going to go to seminary. And so one day, Mr. Christensen had an idea and he asked Steve to stay after class. And he asked him, he said, "How many push-ups can you do?" And well, "Professor, I do 200 push-ups every night before I go to bed." He's a strong guy. He said, "Well, you think you could do 300? And well, "I don't think I've ever done that many, but sure, I could try. I could do 300. And so with that, he told him his plan, and they parted ways. And a couple days later, when Friday came, the end of the week, it was the last class of the week, the professor walked in with a large box of fluffy, filled donuts. And they were an amazing sight. And he had this large box of donuts, and it was going to be a party. And the class was excited because if you've ever been to a class on Friday afternoon, it's like you want it to be over. And so they were excited because they were going to have a party on their last day of the week. So Dr. Christensen walked up to the very front row, and there was a young girl sitting there, and her name was Cynthia. And he said to Cynthia, he said, "Cynthia, would you like a donut?" She said, "Yes, of course I would." So he turned over to Steve and said, "Okay, Steve, 10 push-ups, please." And so Steve, with a smile, went down, did 10 push-ups. And he went on to the next person in line, and said, would you like a donut? She said, yes. All right, Steve, 10 more push-ups. And so on it went down the front row, and it was a little odd, but all the students were responding well. Then all of that went away when they got about the middle of the second row. They got to a basketball player named Steve. Now, Steve was a macho guy. He was pretty strong himself, and he wanted to impress the ladies in the class. And so when the professor asked him if he'd like a donut, he said, yes, sir, I would like one, but I'll do my own push-ups. The professor said, no, you can't do your own push-ups. Steve has to do the push-ups today. And he said, well, fine, then I don't want one. With that, he turned to Steve and said, Steve, do 10 push-ups so this young man can have the donut that he doesn't want to have. And I put it on his desk after Steve finished the 10 push-ups. And on he went down that second row. And people were a little perplexed. And finally, after a while, Steve started to get real tired, as you can imagine, as he got to about 20 students. He'd done 200 push-ups. And suddenly his brow was filled with sweat, and his shirt had started to become saturated with sweat, and he was struggling to do all of his push-ups. And by the time he got to the third row, he got to another student, and there was a sense of uneasiness in the room. The students began saying, no. In fact, he got to a student named Jenny, and Jenny said, no, I don't want a donut, and I don't want Steve to do my push-ups. No. And at that point, he turned to the student, Steve, and said, Steve, 10 more push-ups so Jenny can eat her donut. And on it went. And after a while, people were very, very uneasy at the sight of watching this poor young man do all of these push-ups so that they could have a donut. Dr. Christensen then asked Robert, the most vocal unbeliever in the class, he asked him to watch Steve to make sure that Steve did the full 10 push-ups, that he didn't cheat, that he did them all. Now, students from other classes began to come by at this spectacle because it was quite a sight to see. And when people would come into the class, they would sit down and he would start counting them as well. Finally, the class would yell as people would walk in the room, don't come in, go away. We don't want any more people in the classroom. We don't want Steve to have to do any more push-ups. Dr. Christensen then finished the fourth row and began to give donuts to the visitors. At this point, Steve's arms were shaking uncontrollably as he struggled just to do one or two push-ups before falling down at a time. Finally, he got to the two last students in the class. They were cheerleaders. He asked one of them named Linda. He said, Linda, do you want a donut? Linda cried and said, no, thank you. Professor turned to Steve again and said, Steve, would you do 10 push-ups so Linda can have the donut she doesn't want? Grunting from the effort, Steve did 10 very slow push-ups. Finally, the last student's turn came. Susan said, no, I don't want a donut. Can I please help him? Can I do push-ups for him? To which the professor, with a tear in his eye, said, no. See, I have given Steve this task, and he is in charge of seeing that everyone has a donut, whether they want it or not. When I decided to have a party for you on this last day of class, I looked in my grade book and I found that Steve was the only person with a perfect grade. All of you had failed a test or skipped a class or turned in inferior work, and Steve told me that during football practice, when someone made a mistake, they had to stop and do push-ups. So I told Steve that none of you could have this party, could come to this party, unless you paid the price by doing your push-ups. He and I made a deal for your sake. Steve slowly got up off the floor. He had done 350 push-ups. His arms buckled beneath him as he got up, and a couple students helped him to his seat, and a small smile flashed on his face. The professor said, looked over at Steve and said, well done, good and faithful servant. And he looked to the class and said, not all sermons are preached with words. Turning to the students, the professor said, my wish is that you would fully comprehend all of the riches of grace and mercy that's been given to you through the sacrifice of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. He's already paid the price. He's already paid the price, just as Steve did. Would you be so foolish and so ungrateful as to leave it lying on the desk? And friends, that's the same thing that God says to us today. Jesus Christ has already paid our price. He's already laid down his life so that others can enter into joy, so that others can enter into eternal life with the Father in heaven. He set a metaphoric donut on the desk in front of each one of us. Would we be so foolish as just to leave it there? Or will we instead take it and receive it with gladness, with thanksgiving? Will we instead take it and realize that our neighbors have a donut in front of them as well? Will we tell them about it? Will we stand up? Will we speak up? Or will we just sit idly by, knowing that Jesus has already paid their price? He's already taken their punishment for their mistakes. He's already made a way for them to be reconciled with God the Father. See, our job is so good. It's so simple. See, for some of you who have been walking with Jesus for a long time, God is calling you to take a stand, to stand to your feet, to take that very next step of faith, whatever that may be. See, for Peter in our story today, for him it was to stand up and to raise his voice as God had assembled a crowd. But what is that for you? What opportunities has God laid open before you? What things has God set you up for in your workplace, in your neighborhood, in your school, in your home, with your family? What opportunities has God set you up for victory and filled you up with his Spirit that you might just simply stand up and take that very next step of faith? See, I imagine for Peter, he was scared to death to take that step of faith, to stand up and to open up his mouth and start speaking. Because just a month earlier, he had been so hesitant to say a word on behalf of this Jesus. And yet now he knew he had to take that step of faith. What is your step? What is the thing that God has prepared for you to do? I know it's scary. Sometimes it's terrifying. But what is that next step of faith for you? Friend, I want to encourage you and challenge you. You don't do it by yourself. You don't go alone. We've got brothers and sisters to our left and to our right, and we've got the God of heaven that goes with us, who makes a way for us, who prepares the road for us. The question is, will you stand up? The question is, will you take that step? Will you speak up? Would you bow with me as we close our time in prayer and respond to the Lord? As we conclude our time together today, as we come to the Lord in prayer, I want to remind you and encourage you that the God of heaven is in this place. There's no place we can go from his Spirit, and yet his manifest presence is here with us now. He's available to us here. I believe today may be a milestone day for some of you. For some of you, as it's the day of salvation, it's the day that you receive his free gift of grace and mercy, maybe for the first time, or maybe you've walked away from him for a long season. It's time for you to come home to God, our Heavenly Father. He's already paid the price. Today may be a milestone day for you in that way. For the others of you within the sound of my voice, today is a challenging day as God challenges you to get up, to stand up. He challenges each one of us, myself included, to take our next step of faith, to walk into the purpose that he's created us for, to stand up and to open our voices and to begin speaking the words that he has given us to speak. See, God is looking for people who will not just have an intellectual faith. He's looking for men and women who will stand. He's looking for men and women who will speak to show and share the love of Jesus Christ with everyone, everywhere. The question is simple. Will you stand up? Will you speak up? God is divinely setting you up and he's giving you his Spirit. Will you stand up? If that's you, would you, just as an act of faith, would you stand to your feet? I want to pray a prayer of blessing over you right now. If you feel like God is challenging you and you want to take that next step, would you stand to your feet? Everyone in this room, stand to your feet. Father in heaven, we thank you for your grace. We thank you that you are the God of heaven, the maker of heaven and earth and the maker of us. God, I thank you that you choose to use normal, ordinary people like us to do extraordinary things. God, I pray for courage. Courage. Give us courage to take that next step of faith, God, whatever it may be. God, as we go out of this place and we go to the places that you've sent us, would you give us a new level of courage, a new level of faith? That as we see men and women that are different than us, maybe that they're like us, but as we see men and women, God, give us your eyes to see them as you see them. Give us courage to stand up. And God, give us courage to speak up, to lift up our voices. Jesus, I thank you for setting me free from my sins. I thank you for setting me free from the power of death and the chains of hell and sin and addiction and bondage. God, I pray that you would make each one of us, you would use our lives as ambassadors of freedom, as ambassadors of hope. Use our words, use our actions to set others free. I thank you that you've paid our price. You've punched our ticket. All we have to do is receive it. Help us to see other people with your eyes. Help us to see them the way you see them. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. You can be seated. Finally, with every eye closed and every head bowed in this place, I want to make an opportunity. If you've never taken the very first step of faith, you've never received the love of Jesus Christ, with every head bowed and eye closed, if you've not been walking in a relationship with Jesus and you want to admit to God your need for his forgiveness for your past, his power for your present, and the hope of eternal life for your future, I want to take a moment and pray with you and agree with you in prayer. The Bible, Jesus declared himself, if you will acknowledge me before men, I will acknowledge you before my Father who is in heaven. But he said, if you don't, I won't. So there's something important about agreeing with others on earth by saying, I believe in the Lord Jesus. I want to agree with you in prayer today. If that's you, with every other head bowed and eye closed, honestly, in prayer for you, if that's you, would you lift up your hand and lift up your eyes and let our eyes meet? I want to agree with you in prayer. You say, I want to receive the love of Jesus. I want to pick up the donut. If that's you, let our eyes meet. Is that where you're looking up? I see you, sir. Thank you. God bless you. Anyone else? Yes, ma'am. The sound of my voice. God bless you. Church, can we repeat this prayer with those who are praying it, maybe for the first time? Say after me, say, Lord Jesus, I believe that you are the Son of God. Thank you for dying on the cross in my place for my sins. Please forgive me. Help me to live life your way. I thank you for your gift of eternal life. I ask you into my life. I ask you to be my Lord and Savior. I want to serve you all my days. In your name I pray. Amen. Amen. Can we celebrate with those who say yes to Jesus today? Well, we're going to have a fun time out at our barbecue today. I want to encourage you to stick around, make some connections, get to know some folks, go deep together. I know a lot of times on Sunday we got places to go, but I want to encourage you to stick around. If you didn't bring something to share, that's okay. Lots of people did. Eat the food anyways. It's going to be good. All right? God bless you, and we will see you out on the grass.